On your website, you write, honor your true self, find your own path, and stand confident in your truth. I wanted to ask you, what does that sentence mean to you right now in your life?
I feel as though it's constantly calibrating to a new truth because we evolve, right? Like, how boring if we were just the same throughout our lives, right? So I find for me, that is constantly staying connected to what is my heart saying, my soul saying, like, you know, a combination of the two, and honoring and following that, even if previously that like other path was right. You know, as you're walking along a path or you're driving on a road, you know that that road changes. And so many, you know, environments change, you evolve, everything around you shifts and you feel different. And then, yeah, the next thing calls, and it's about honoring that and not just staying stuck in, usually it's an old identity that keeps you stuck and you kind of wrestle with your mind for a bit, but following that sort of heart-led call, I think to me that's what that means.
I'm interested now in how you see to give a little bit of context, I think we're in Bali right now, right? And then I'm coming from Germany, and it's like very much like a total different mindset in a lot of ways. There's like Western mindset, and when you grow up in this, I think it's very like, you know, you don't know anything else. And it's very much like logical driven, right? And what you said and stated here is kind of like the opposite. It's like, okay, like listen to your heart and your emotions and whatever. How did you grow up like in that maybe head versus heart conversation? How was it for you personally growing up? Like,
I firmly believe, and I know this is a saying somewhere and I can't attribute it to anyone specific, but the saying is the longest journey you will ever make is from your head to your heart.
Love that.
And I think that's a journey. That's like a human hero's journey, truly. And I think, like, from my perspective and how I view it on a macro level, is that particularly when you're born into a Western society, and you know there is even like a gendered split with this in terms of people who identify as feminine, identify as more masculine. Like, we are born into a Western place that has paradigms like capitalism, patriarchy, extracting resources, like what can you give me, that kind of thing. And we're swimming in this soup and we become part of this soup, right? Yeah. And I firmly believe from a zoomed out level that a lot of our souls purposefully chose to be in that soup so that we could find our way back into the heart, right? We could go from the head to the heart. But that's certainly my own personal journey. Like, particularly as a woman who identifies as feminine, the being thrown into a Western culture that has like the primacy of the mind, I think a lot of women have and still do sort of create this world within themselves where their mind is the strongest force. And while we do need to, you know, be concerned with our mind, it's actually like our heart coherence is far more powerful in influencing our mind than the other way around. The Institute of Heart Math has an amazing, like a whole heap of great studies on, I'm pretty sure it's like it's almost like 90% versus the 10%, like 90% in the heart versus the 10%, right? And so the quicker you can do that journey and get down there and use both in concert, the more magic your life is. But before you connect to your heart, and if you're just in the headspace, like I call it lollipop woman syndrome, because I've got like a, you know, sort of a lot of experience with women who come to see me and their energy body is like this big lollipop, and then like it's in their head and then the rest of the body is just a stick, right? And that is what I kind of sense in the Western world, is that it's just all up here. And there's not much running through. And in order for us to really be connected and have deeply fulfilling heart-led lives and like with our intuitions on, we need to be in our bodies. We need to be in our hearts. And that's kind of where I see that sort of that tangle of having gone, oh man, it's all in the mind, and then slowly melting down into my own body and seeing everything light up from there. Like once you had the experience of it, you can't go back.
Yeah, that's, I think a lot of the things you said also are the same for like men, right? Mm. It's not men, women, yeah. Like you were talking about women because you work primarily, yes. Primarily with women, right?
Yes.
But I think the same is true for men also.
Mm.
So I think though, like that a lot of people who are listening might be like very skeptical because like I know it for myself. That sounds like, you know, to have this very skeptical perspective and putting the hat on of like the nice guy maybe who's like just never heard anything different in his life. It's like, okay, like my granddad, like, and my father, like they made it without your woo-woo emotional stuff. Like it worked for them, right? Why should I do something else? Like, I don't know. I'm kind of like, I don't know. There's no other way for me. Mm. Like why, like it sounds like you want me to make me very, really soft. Like how would I ever get to where I want to be? Like I had to learn, like I need to work hard. Right. Mm. So what are you telling me now? It's like, I don't know. Should it be softer? Like, or I don't understand this whole thing. Can you explain that to me now?
Mm, I love that question. Well, first of all, I would ask the question of why are you listening to this podcast? If everything is sweet, why are you listening to a beautiful podcast called Drop Them Up? You know what I mean? Like there's always a reason why someone has come into connection with content, with some kind of information, right? Their soul is guiding them into something. So first up, I'd be like, there it is. You know, I don't seek to convince anyone of anything. And I don't think you do either. It's more so like if someone has come into connection or communion with your topic, your content, or asked you a question about something, there is something in them that knows there's more. Mm-hmm. There's something in them that knows that there's a sense of fulfillment that, or like an itch that they have not been able to scratch yet, that they want to learn how to do it, right? Otherwise, they would just be tootling off in their own world, not even anywhere near this kind of information because they'd be whatever, you know, fine. Yeah. So I would never ask anybody to do anything that they aren't already a little bit interested in doing, even if they don't realize it, right? So there's that. I'll start with that, like the premise of that. And coming into the heart space, yeah, I forget how people think it's like a woo-woo thing, but it's literally like a physiological sensation that you can tap into that then creates literal waves, like waves of coherence that influence the rest of your body and the rest of your mind. So I would always go in with like, let's just use the concrete, you know, sciences, the outer sciences to prove to you first up that this is of benefit on one level, on like just one, let alone like it's multidimensional, right? And if you can connect in here, oh, wait, I'm feeling all of these things and oh gosh, but I've thought these things and like they start to come up against each other and that opens up a whole other journey to discover where it is that you haven't been, you know, true to yourself, like your truest essence. So yeah, I'd probably suggest that there are benefits that don't make you soft.
Okay, I have so many questions.
Yes.
I'm intrigued now. But like it also sounds like empty promises. Like do you have some actual, I don't know, results or like how does it, you said like the frequency and coherence with your body, like sounds again like what are you talking about? I don't know, that you're just like saying some weird words I don't know how to relate to. Like what does that actually mean for me or for other people maybe you work with or like, I don't know, like I'm open and I'm curious to like know more about this, but I'm feeling a lot of resistance when you're talking about like in these terms because I don't know how that feels. I never experienced any like that. And like, I would like to improve in my own life. Mm. Maybe like there are things which aren't perfect, where I don't feel fulfilled.
Yeah.
But I don't know if your way is the way. Like, can you maybe give me more like actual examples from your own life or from your clients or like things you saw, like
let's talk about like the core of what you know is actually happening. And like, do you believe in electromagnetic fields? Do you believe in Wi-Fi? Do you believe that works?
Yeah
okay So you yourself are an electromagnetic being. It just, that is truth. Like, it's literally, if you plug yourself into the machines at a hospital, you will see all kinds of things showing you, various frequencies, wavelengths, and the information is there and you will see it, even though you can't necessarily know that as an animated meat sack walking through the world, right? Like, you are more than just that. And people can prove that to you if you want to see it.
How do I, like, do we need to feel, like, how do I feel that? Like, we're coming from, okay, I'm, like, logically, I'm thinking a lot, and I'm thinking through problems, maybe, and like that. Then you were telling me, okay, it's more about, like, feeling, getting into the heart. Now we're, like very far into, like, okay, electromagnetic fields, and, like, but, like, how does it...
How does it marry?
Like, how does it, like, what? Okay, I'm here right now. I'm open and curious, but I don't know how to experience whatever you're saying. Like, because beliefs, like, I have a certain belief about the world. And maybe the belief is, like, whatever you're talking about, like, why would I believe that? Because I have no proof for this, right? So in order to gain any proof, I need to experience that. Or I need to hear it from someone I trust, maybe, you know, exactly. That's how we build most of our beliefs. But at first, like, okay, let's say I'm curious and open now to explore that, but how would I get started? I don't know. I never, like, just from a personal, like, now my experience is that maybe until 2 years ago, before I started, like, reading more about my own patterns, learning more about myself, I was very numb, like numb in the sense of I didn't feel any emotions, really. Was just, like, very flat, you know. I wouldn't say it was depressed necessarily, but just, like, I didn't know how to feel sad. This year was, like, the first time where I cried, like,
really,
since many years.
Okay.
Yeah, you're surprised, but, like, many men, especially, probably maybe also women, I can speak for them, but like, many men just, like, live year to year to year to year, and things suck maybe, but they laugh it off, and it's like, you know, especially in Germany, I feel like a lot of people are making jokes about their misery because they don't know how to deal differently with it.
Yeah.
And now I know that it's really important for me now. That was where you were tapping in before I, you know, took on the critical, kind of hat of the critical person who was before the transformation. That would have been me maybe with, like, 25, 26, 27. But would be, like, very, like, who do you think you're better than me? You're talking about, like, all these healing things. Like, no, like, my way, like, am I worse now, you know? So I think a lot of people are very, can be very activated when they hear, like, someone else talking about, like, oh, yeah, just be, like, energy and light and whatever. And it's like, I'm struggling, really, and you're telling me about these random things.
Yeah.
So I know, tying it back to the emotions, that it's so hard to first feel them and knowing how to tap into them. And, like, since you're working with women, I don't know if that's something you have experienced, like, because women have a tendency to easier tap into their emotions.
Well, you know what? I don't know about that. I don't know about that because, I feel like with a particularly Western culture, I can't speak necessarily for, you know, like, more Eastern, Southern cultures. The Western woman is often numbed out, and we're numbed and... in women and men, and we're numbed out for so many reasons, like, literally the traumas, like, not just traumas that we go through. And I know sometimes that can be an overused term, but I truly do believe that we all in this day and age now experience micro traumas all day, every day, just through our phones, just through the television, just through media and that kind of thing. Like, all of that, you know, it cuts our bodies off because it's too scary to feel the full, like, you know, like what we're witnessing in Gaza and the Middle East and all through it. Like, there's so many different, on so many fronts, we see people suffering and or we're suffering ourselves, that it can feel completely overwhelming for our systems. We are Paleolithic beings, like nervous system beings, living in an information tech world, where we have so much information flowing at us. We were not designed to move that through us. So I believe a coping mechanism is to create numbness so that we can manage, so that we can manage and move through.
Yeah.
And the numbness piece is one of those aspect of like the invitation into your body begins with acknowledging that numbness, I feel. Like actually even knowing that you're feeling numb. Yeah. And so like oftentimes I'll invite people into, you know, arriving there and even engaging with, and the term is interoception, is like engaging with what's going on in your body and like actually connecting inside, not just on the surface, but I will take people into, okay, like let's just put your hand on an area of your body and draw them in to that part of their body so they can actually start to feel it. And then once people experience something, as you say, then the knowledge begins to like trickle in and becomes a knowing,
yeah,
right? Rather than just like a,
I have to believe this,
whatever, you know, like I, like this is a thing that I'm like, I have no concept of,
yeah.
I can't tap into it. But when someone actually has that sensation and starts to feel it, and usually that will come with release, will come with some kind of a grief and like whatever has been trapped there. And most recent research shows that it's actually the fascia in our body that holds a lot of this trauma. So when you go in and you can like gently release that or like be with that, then all these sort of trapped things that you've, that have created this numbness get to be released.
Yeah.
And then you get to actually feel the brilliance of who you are. And, you know, like, This is another invitation for people into their bodies, is that you contain all of the best drugs in the world in your body. All the things that you can supposedly like take exogenously, you can produce like DMT, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You can produce endogenously in your body if you will let yourself do that, if you will let yourself open the cupboard to it. Right. But what's there in the moment is all kinds of shit that's piled up in front of the cupboard. We want to like take that away and let yourself be free.
That ties wonderfully into something you said on your Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And like one post said, you've said, we don't work on our inner light to bypass the darkness, but to navigate through it.
Yeah.
I feel like that ties really well into what you said just right now. It's like, we can produce these like positive experiences for ourselves, but not to like numbing out, and kind of like that's maybe more where coping mechanisms come into play, right? But to really like learn how to navigate the darkness, in a sense, maybe for people that means like uncomfortable feelings.
Yes.
And I recently just started to not call them negative emotions,
exactly,
but like uncomfortable ones.
Yes.
Because yeah, when we start to embrace all the spectrum and say like, okay, like I just have to learn how to deal with like being sad or angry, and I accept the fact that this is like a signpost in my life which shows me where to go and where not to go. And I'm always saying it's a little bit like when you put your hand into the fire, like you feel pain. Mm-hmm. Why do you feel pain? Because the universe wants to like punish you, like no, like right, it's there for you actually.
Yes.
It's like a mechanism to tell you like get the fuck out of the fire, like you're literally hurting yourself, you can't use your hand anymore.
Yes.
If you don't remove that immediately in the next, I don't know, 5 to 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So the bigger the pain, the stronger the signal of like this is the more dangerous potentially that thing is for you, right? For your existence, for your body, for whatever. So and like, yeah, maybe you can draw the bridge there yourself to the emotions. What are you teaching maybe your clients, or what is your take on that?
Yeah. Oh gosh, there's so many things that I'm thinking of as you speak, because one thing that came through as soon as you said that line, because I think of Thomas Hubel, who is this amazing man. He's like a medical doctor and a mystic, and he does this work for Holocaust survivors who have endured, and like generational. He will take like an entire room and help to clear collective trauma from like epigenetically, from the body, from like, you know, that the whole kind of, yeah, even my father, son, blah, 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 like mother, daughter, everything. And he will just, you know, take it and move it through. And he writes about, because this is like, we're talking hundreds of people. He has facilitators. And these facilitators that he hires, that people that he will bring into his world, he says they all need to have anchored their light in their body so that they can go into the darkness and guide people out of that. And that is like literally his number one requirement of his facilitators. He's like, you've got to know that when you're going into something, like what's yours and what's not yours, like that's another layer of things. Yeah. But like know that, because when you particularly are working with some of the darkest energies and the most horrendous traumas that our human race has ever seen, you need to know and be certain of your light so that you can navigate through the trauma field, through the generational pain and the hurt, because, you know, you have people throwing stuff at you, or like not throwing, but like people project because they don't want to own their stuff and la la la. Like, you know, that in and of itself is like, I think one of the best human talents that we can like aim for is be able to do that. But like, that's for other people, but for ourselves, when we come up against the pain, you're so right. Like that, it's a signal. It's not a sign from the universe. It's not a like punishment. Yeah. It's a signal. And there's usually an invitation into something else. And I feel like there's an aspect of our Western culture that does not and will not accept intensity of any kind that is like not in the pleasure realm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I really
only
do firmly believe that.
Intense pleasure, but not intense non-pleasure.
Or, you know, even for instance, like having a fever or a headache, right? Let's just use that as an example. Like, you know, the fever is there usually because it's biting off an infection. What do we do? Go take some drugs to stop it. And it's like, what, wait a second.
Exactly,
why?
Right? Exactly.
Why are we doing this? Right? Why can't we be with this sensation? And again, nuanced perspective. Of course, if a baby is running like a 40 plus degree fever, you know, like you don't want to go into febrile fever. Like there's, but it's like if you were just have a cold or something and you're fighting off an infection and you have a fever and you can nap and rest and or have a sleep, don't take drugs before you go to bed, because your body and its intelligence is trying to do something for you, and you're stopping it and you're saying no, because I can't endure this thing, right? And it feels like that's like a big issue.
I 100% like subscribe to that, because it's like, I don't understand, like, I remember last year I talked to a nurse and I was not feeling very well. I had a fever actually. And that person was like she was a nurse in the US, and she was like saying like, oh no, we have to bring, like you'd have to take everything and bring the fever down. I'm like, but isn't it like good for me to like, I'm just like waiting it out. And like, that's your, because what you said, right? I'm like, wait, my understanding is like helping the body to get rid of bacteria. It's like the natural,
or a
like
virus,
even, and it's nothing, like it's just a very logical thing for me to think. But she was like a nurse in a hospital, and I was like, wait, what? I don't know. That was so far away from like my understanding of like how that works. The same is like, when you go here in Bali, like, you know, Bali belly is a thing, and people immediately pop like things for like against, like, you know, it comes out everywhere.
Like stopping
but, like,
you from
stopping
doing
you.
It.
But it's like, wait, then you have the toxic stuff still in your body. Don't you want to get rid of it?
Yeah,
like that's
absolutely.
The natural, like you don't, as you said, like the body is not doing these things to punish you, but it's there for a reason. It wants to help you. And I think this understanding is what I hear from what you're talking about a lot, like in, and the emotional stuff also, like when some uncomfortable emotion comes up, that it wants to tell you something, it wants to help you. Your body never works against you, but it's like the head or the logical mind, which thinks that we're like, you know, you're resisting what is. And this, I think it ties back really well what I heard from you in the beginning when you said there's 90% is the heart and 10% is the head. And 90%, the heart is subconscious though, or numbed out, or like, you know, stuffed away to a certain extent oftentimes. And then it tries to bubble up and there's like, I'm feeling this, but the head is like, no, I don't want to feel this.
Yes.
I think this is where a lot of this tension comes from.
100%. 100%. And it's the our addiction to comfort and convenience. As a Western culture, the comfort and convenience piece is what is keeping us from connecting to that uncomfortability, right? We're addicted to comfort and convenience. We want it now. We want it good. We want it to feel good. So then we stop ourselves from listening to that like heart bubbling up when it wants to bubble up. We're like, nope, I've got to do things now and we've got to do whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then we skate through life and come across a discomfort and are just simply unable to deal. So we stuff it down. So we ignore it. And then again, it's like you're just leaving that cupboard full of your amazing bodily drugs and sensations and experiences and just literal pleasure in your body. You're just leaving that for like, you know, what, the afterlife? I don't know. Yeah.
Do you have an example maybe, or like in your own life experience, like did you go through that transition of like getting aware first and then like slowly stepping into this, like, oh, everything's happening for me instead of against me, and like this kind of resistance, you started to work with it. Like,
yes.
Can you tell me more about that?
I mean, mine probably happened over several years. There wasn't like one big aha moment, but I think when I began to, in probably around like, actually not long, late 20s or so, I would have had that experience of like, of starting to realize, you know, I felt as though the dark night of the soul kind of came in around a time called the Saturn return, which is your late 20s. That's like in astrologically, it's when like things come to the fore and it's like, here, deal with it, you know, like here's your reckoning. And so that all kind of came about around this time, and a lot of just like really emotional things, like a breakup of a long-term relationship that I thought was going to be it, and la la la, and all of these things kind of brought me into a space of realization of, hey, wait a second, maybe you need to stop blaming all of the things that you have set up in your life, I guess, to so-called satisfy you, you know. And we in our culture, we get taught that if you line all your ducks up in a row, and maybe that's an Australian saying, I don't know.
I wouldn't say, I've never heard that.
When you get the get the partner, get the house, get the great job, get the blah, 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 then you're supposed to feel amazing, right? Yeah. And then when you get all the things, that's when people come to work with me. They're like, I got all the things, but I still feel like shit. I still feel unfulfilled. I still feel like crap. And when I began to kind of pull apart all these things that I'd put my value into, like how things appeared in my life or how things looked to people, and started to turn within and go, okay, how do I feel about my life? How do I feel about things? That's when things started to shift, because I was like, well, gosh, society is a bit psycho. It's a bit crazy, because it would prefer for someone to say be in a marriage with a house and the 2.4 kids or whatever it is, picket fence, and look fine, right? But God knows what's going on behind doors, and I know what's going on behind a lot of those doors, and it is not great. Like abuse and all kinds of things happening between people, and but society's happier with that. But say a single woman in her 30s and 40s or whatever, who's like doing like, oh my God, like someone who's fulfilling themselves and living the life of their dreams, but isn't doing all of these things. Society is like, oh, wait a second. That doesn't match up with what we think is success. And I started to think to myself, wait, I'm not going to listen to society anymore. You're fucking crazy. Like literally. So then that's when I started to listen to my soul and myself far more, and let that guide me in a way that was so much more true to myself, and saw my world completely open up, like literally soul led. I mean, that led to me writing my blog. I started doing that in my early 30s. That was while I was still working in international aid and development, like working on programs and projects across the world. But that was my career. And I started writing. And when you put yourself out in the world and you put your like little flag of weird out in the world, you start to attract all of the things that are true for you. You put the signal out there of, this is who I am. And then people start to, and yeah, my whole world changed. Like within a year and a half, I had said goodbye to like a decades long career in that world and leapt into this world of, you know, guiding people via soul and coaching and mentoring and everything. And that's been like 9 years later, you know, like literally how much more proof do you need to kind of say like, holy moly, like when you start listening to yourself and you start listening to the trueness of what's, you know, the message that's coming through, how much magic can ensue?
Beautiful. And I think it ties back wonderfully into what we said in the beginning. Well, like I asked these like questions of like, yeah, I'm skeptical. What is like, why would I do this? Why would I do that? And I think like the experience for a lot of people is that they're wearing a mask, right? And that they're not showing their authentic true self.
Yeah.
And it's certainly true for the nice guys and people pleaser I'm working with. And then probably also for the women you're working with, where you said like they're so caught up or like not caught up, like influenced by society that they just don't know what they really want, because they're like the brain kind of also wants to keep them safe.
Yeah.
And that means not leaving the comfort zone of like maybe going against the group and maybe doing something, which is like not the norm, as you said. And but many people then realize at some point, oh, wait, maybe that's not it.
No, that, exactly. They do.
So that kind of like, I'm a firm believer though, you know, like, a lot of people are then, maybe they listen to this podcast also or to other stuff and are like, oh my God, I wish I would have figured this out 5 years earlier or 10 years earlier. That would have been so much better. But I think it's, again, the brain which tries to make sense of things, and then it's not helping you again, because I think like you have to go through these experiences and you need some time for all of this. And you, if... as you said, people wouldn't have lined up all the ducks. They wouldn't have had the house, the kid, or whatever, like all the things which society maybe told them will make them happy.
Yeah.
Without that experience, they wouldn't have come to the realization that it's not that, because there would always be the nagging voice. Maybe it would make me happy if I would have the house, right? I mean, it's the same with... yeah, it's the same with money, right? Celebrities, people are always like, yeah, no, I would be so happy. I wouldn't have any problems when I would be famous and rich, you know? I don't understand their problem. Like, I don't understand them. People are so obnoxious about, like, I don't know, like, there's empathy missing sometimes. But it's also like, I understand, because the personal experience is not there. They only see it through their lens of their experience now, and when they can't afford to buy certain, like, the bills right now, then of course all of their problems right now would be fixed with more money, right? The head and the heart. Oof. It's a big topic.
I want to pick up on exactly something that you just said then, which is like not having those experiences, that the experience of lining your ducks up in the row. If you don't have them, that experience of ticking boxes that you think you need to tick and then arriving at the other side and going, oh, that wasn't it. That's your initiation. Like, it's literally your initiation. So, you know, saying, oh, I wish I'd done this 5-10 years ago. Like, no, you were going through your initiation to arrive in this place. Right. And without it, you would still probably be chasing, oh, that it must be in there. It must be in that. It must be in. And I can't remember who said this, but I heard it like a few weeks ago and I thought, that is brilliant. It was like, you know, what I wish for you is that you get your dreams really quickly so that you know that it was never those things.
That this wasn't the, never the
there
dream.
It was never the dream.
Or never
it
your
was,
dream.
Was, yeah, yeah. It and it's like that you can get to the other side of that. So you can realize what really matters, really, ultimately.
Yeah.
Like that's like, that was like their deepest wish. It's like that it happens faster for you, you know, because it's like not in the way that you think, not in the, oh my gosh, your wildest dreams, because like then you're just going to be happy forever and ever. Amen. Yeah. It's so that you can realize that was not what you were actually looking for. And like really most deeply, it's the experience, the initiation and who you become.
Yeah.
Who you become as a result of having done these things.
Yeah. That also kind of answers the question from the beginning, mm-hmm. where we said like, okay, but how, like, we talked about like sensations and emotions and like mm-hmm. feeling these things and going like, and it sounded very like unspecific. Mm. And I feel like now we got more into the ground, you know, thing which everybody can relate to.
Yes.
And it's not so much like the terminology is like very common for everyone.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a thing, right? You probably, people start to feel, and was certainly my experience when I think about other people's experience, people start to focus less on their head and start to search for different ways, and then maybe start listening to the heart more when they have these gathered all these other things they wanted together, and then feel like, okay, it wasn't it.
Yes.
Like from a logical perspective, I got everything. So why would I keep listening to my brain telling me to achieve another car or another whatever, like, you know, I did all this and I got disappointed. And then it's like, okay, maybe now it's time to listen to the heart.
Yes. You need to get exhausted. Your brain needs to get exhausted. You need to hit like a fuck it moment, a full fuck it moment. And then that's usually when the surrender into something else happens, like surrender into there's got to be something else. But you got to exhaust that brain, that mind. And that's what these experiences do. It exhausts. and then it's like, okay, what else? And it's usually like looking up to the heavens, and then the real journey begins.
That's wonderful. I have another post from your Instagram. Mm-hmm. I really liked some of the, there were a lot of really nice nuggets. The Instagram will also be in the bio for everyone listening. What if you stopped judging yourself for your productivity and started measuring success by how you live your values daily? And that's such a powerful reframe, right? Away from what we were talking about, basically this Western mindset of like the productivity, the success of like the specific feasible outcome.
Yeah.
Right? All the ducks basically you're lining up, and then starting to measure the success maybe by how you live your values daily, how open you share your heart, how not closed down you are, and like, yeah, maybe more on an emotional level than the logical level. So how did you come to that insight?
I think it's along the same lines of turning it from how does everything look to on the outside, and like the output, how does everything look, and turning it back into the things that you can control, and also the fleeting nature of external outputs as well, right? You have an external output and you can feel like, all right, boom, I got that thing done or whatever it is. And it will always be on to the next, right? You're always on to the next, which is great. It's just, I mean, like that's just how life is. But when you turn it internally and you turn it into this values exploration of, oh, okay, so when I was asked a question today and I was able to open in my truth and speak something and have the hard conversation. Oh, like, you know, that's aligned with my value of truth, say. When I went to have a massage and, you know, relaxed, that is my value of body care. Like I'm a huge, like that's my big, you know, a proponent of that for everyone really. And when I went out and connected with the earth, like that's my value of like reverence for creation and all of that sort of thing, right? All of that stuff that can never be taken away from us. Mm-hmm. It's always adding. It is always adding to us and to our souls and to the richness of us as a human being. And it's not fleeting. It only builds and builds and builds upon itself rather than like, you know, all of the outputs and things that we can achieve externally. This is really increasing the richness of who we are daily. It's like adding to that bank account daily, and it gets better and better and you get better and better.
What I'm hearing here is like looking inside instead of outside. It's like the big topic, basically a big theme, which I'm hearing through everything. And I agree 100% with like so many of these these things you're saying, because like two different people, for example, can see the same objective reality and have a completely different view on that. I remember one study, I'm just have to think about it. It was about optimism and pessimism, which is like the most, like, you know, maybe some people believe in it, maybe some don't or something like that. But there was one study where they had people walking down the hallway, like some hallway. And at the end of that, there was a like doctor's office. And they told people, okay, the test kind of is in the doctor's office. They have to answer some questions. And they had to, but the real test was on the way to the doctor's office, where they halfway like hit a $10 bill somewhere. You know about it?
No, but I've heard similar, but I freaking love it. Yes.
Yeah, and it's basically the questions in the doctor's office was just to, kind of see how people thought about themselves, how lucky or non-lucky, you know, they saw themselves. And the people who said about themselves that they are lucky were way more likely to find the $10 bill, which is so interesting to see, right? That when you're focusing on the good things and stuff like that, then the good things also happen to you maybe. But like, it's really, it comes from the inside, right? It's not on the outside was the same. That's what I'm saying here. The outside, the $10 bill was the same for everyone. But like your subjective reality was very much, for these people, was very much shaped by the internal reality.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I love this, because this is the objective reality doesn't exist. Like, and it's particularly in a space of like the quantum mechanic realm, that you are literally, you know, you're wearing glasses, I'm wearing contacts. Your inner state is like whatever glasses you choose to put on that day. If you choose to put on like seriously dark, blocked out glasses, i.e. you have an inner world that's like everything is shit and everything bad always happens to me, blah, 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 like you're literally going to walk out and probably stumble over something because you can't see, but that's the world you're going to see. And that is literally how we are internally creates a fractal of reality that we then see reflected back to us when we go out into the world, right? And I know like that's mind-bending, and, you know, for people who are skeptical, it's going to be really hard to swallow, but it's like that's literally it. And like that simple experiment is such a good way of demonstrating the truth of it. It's like you will see it or you will not see it depending on where you're at internally.
Yeah, it's in so many ways, right? It ties into victim mentality, of people victimizing themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to think about this other study, I think, where they told people, okay, you're going to have some interview for a job, but we're going to paint some facial disfigurements on your face. And we want to kind of like see how much that, you know, if people are biased when someone has a facial disfigurement, like a scar or like some stuff like that, and they're not like looking maybe as beautiful or whatever conventionally. And the twist though was that a second before the person would go into the actual interview room, they would say like, okay, let's just brush it up a little bit. Like, let's make it final. They removed the disfigurement, but the person going into the interview room still thought it's there. Mm-hmm. And afterwards they would interview, like after the job interview, they would ask them some questions. And the person like was saying like, oh yeah, I heard many, like in several occasions through the interview, the person would basically make comments about my disfigurements, which wasn't there anymore. So it was just again, where the focus goes, like, you know, when you focus on, oh my God, that person is like talking about my facial disfigurement, which literally wasn't there anymore. Mm-hmm. But just the focus shaped the reality of what the person experienced in that moment.
Yeah.
And that is so much. And then of course, if you focus on that, like how, I don't know, bad, like your experience with, I don't know, I'm talking a lot about like the gender war, basically men against women, and how dangerous men are, all like, you know, that's like in like a big topic. And then, right, men are predators, men are toxic, stuff like that. So if you focus on this all the time, like, then you will also are way more likely, I think, to attract that.
100%. Because, I mean, the saying is like people will rise or fall to your expectations.
Yeah.
And that's so true. And I love that you bring that up, like the so-called gender wars. And I, it's funny because I don't really go down those echo chambers of the of the internet so much, and because I really do believe there's like such a beautiful nuance to this that like yes, there's a reckoning happening where, you know, we had the Me Too movement and all of that, and like the women like finally recognizing that they can speak out about atrocities that have happened against them. But yeah, it seems like the pendulum sometimes has swung the other way. And I think it's not just in the way that it's being perceived. It's like in the oh my gosh, like women are hating on men. It's more so like that there is this emphasis. It's like an inability to deal with nuance and multidimensional things. And you know, like it's like it's not men that are toxic. It's toxic masculinity. It's behavior. It's behavior that's the toxic aspect, and we've got it on both sides, but it just so happens that yeah, the overwhelming majority of violence is perpetrated by men, and or you know, like that there has been a reckoning that's had to happen, but the pendulum is swinging in a direction that yeah is not helpful or helpfully instructive to our youth, right? Because of these perceptions that of being this way as a man is unacceptable, or being this way as a man is unacceptable. So it's sort of like, where are you? You know, and that's the challenge, I think.
I feel like it's tied back to like, people are searching on the outside again, mm-hmm. like what kind of behavior is good, what kind of behavior is bad or something like this, instead of looking again on the inside of like, what feels good, what feels bad. Mm-hmm. I believe that, I mean, every human always wants to be good. Mm-hmm. I feel like nobody steps out the door in the morning was like, today I'm going to be an asshole. Like, yeah. You know, like everybody has their
reasons.
Except
the guys on the really loud bikes that ride through at 2 a.m. here in Bali.
Exactly.
Tonight I'm going to be an asshole. Yeah.
That is true. They're the only exception.
Yeah.
But as you said, like it's so much nuance in the whole topic that there's a lot of guys like me in the past, which then take these messages which are like, men are toxic, men are like predators, men are like so dangerous, really too hard, and then come to the conclusion to not wanting to hurt anybody and then not even like approach women anymore, or like being so afraid of communicating romantic interest because the head is so much stronger than the heart, and the heart kind of feels the pull towards it. Oh, maybe she's attractive. I'm attracted to her energy. Like maybe how's, of course, in the beginning, maybe like how she looks physically, but then you're attracted to like how she is, like how she behaves, how her energy, how she feels. And you just feel that, but you're like, oh my God, I can't do this. Like I was like, I can't go there because I'm too afraid of that. I'm stepping over a boundary from her because I hear all these stories from all the women online all the time that they're like getting like so uncomfortable when men approach them. And you see all the gym content of like where they women film themselves, like where men, I don't know if you went down these rabbit holes, but it's like what many men just get automatically like thrown like into their feed. It's like basically women filming themselves in the gym and kind of shitting on the men looking at them, for example. And it's like, it really feels wrong in a sense. Like, of course, as you said, there's always like Me Too and everything happened for a reason, right? And there are things to point out, but as you said, the pendulum swung too far.
Yeah.
And now, like, I think a majority of the women also doesn't take ownership for their own behaviors, or like when it comes to like the what we talked about before was the subjective view on like that now all the women, like not all the women, but like a majority of women thinks the world is such a dangerous place, even though from statistics, it's like one of the most safe places ever. Yeah. But just because we are in these echo chambers and social media and everything just like introduces this thought into our head that men are so dangerous and everything is so like, you know, and then we all become kind of like pessimists, like the people in the going down the hallway.
Yeah.
And we're not, or in that case, we see the $10 bill, but instead of $10 and something positive, it's like, oh, he said something really like bad.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm missing the word right now, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Like something which make me feel bad. It's like
100%. I have a question for you though. Yeah, I hear you. And like, you know, we there's so many different ways that the behaviors of, and like the way that women on, I guess, on social media have communicated, mm-hmm. like that, oh my God, how dare a man even approach me? Like mm. the gall of it, right? And that you can feel like as though you don't want to overstep a boundary, overstep a mark just by going up to a woman. But how much of it is concern for overstepping a boundary, and how much of it is the potential sensation of rejection in your body if you do experience that?
I think it is, you can go down layers of it. What I discovered for me is like the upper layer, the first layer kind of is like the fear of being like, yeah, of hurting someone else, of doing something to her or something like that. But ultimately below that is the fear of being seen as a bad person and not wanting to be seen as some toxic guy or some asshole. So the tying their own worth towards like an opinion from someone else, and not like having this, you were talking about this strong light within ourselves, mm-hmm. right? Not having this enough self-esteem or self-worth within us, or within me in that mm-hmm. case, where I was like very like afraid of like, what if that person doesn't approve of me? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to go down the whole rabbit hole, because that is like a very strong thing then. Yeah. Why? Because I think that's generational. This is like, we can talk about where this came from and like over like grandparents to parents to like why more and more men are feeling like that way. But ultimately, I think all the things we touched on before in the podcast help also working through these kind of patterns, because the first step, having the awareness and looking inside and connecting more to the heart, will lead to a more strong understanding of yourself, and definitely helps with not being too connected to the other, like, or not connecting your own self-worth and self-confidence and stuff like that to the other person's opinion. Like, it takes a while, you know, and it's slow. It's a slow process.
It is.
But it's really like, it's really the way for me, it was the way for me to go to start tapping out of that, because of what you said with like authenticity starts with knowing what you want, and knowing what you want starts with like, not necessarily with the head. The head only, I feel like, makes reasons up for why the heart already decided.
Yeah.
And we can, I feel like most of the time when the head tries to go a different road, it just crashes at some point. You're like, fuck, I can't do it.
Yes.
Like, it's not possible.
Exactly.
And then you go back to the route where the heart already decided this is the way to go.
Yes.
And there's like so many fears before that.
Yeah.
And then learning the skills, as you said, with the other guy who works with the Holocaust.
Yeah.
The generational pain and stuff like that, that people learn to go through the discomfort.
Mm.
Like that you, what you said in Instagram also, that there is the discomfort of the fear, but listening to what is my true self saying, where I want to be, what does feel aligned in that moment, and then seeing like, okay, but what are these patterns of fear which are layered above and holding me off from that?
Yeah.
And where am I? Oh, and it's such a complicated field.
It's huge. And I think, like, ultimately, when you're, you know, at the gym or whatever, wherever, and like feeling like your heart saying, oh, I'm, you know, I like the light in this other person. I love that. Like, I like this, and it feels right to go and say hello. Like, that you ultimately can be okay with yourself after that interaction, right? Like, that's the place we want to get to, is that we're okay no matter what.
Yeah.
Either way, the woman looks up and smiles and says, no, thank you, or does something not very nice, or does whatever. It's like, you're going to be okay, right?
Could I still love myself?
Yeah.
When whatever, worst case, she rejects me in a very negative way, even because she's projecting whatever her fears onto that interaction, or what she saw on content. Oh, people always get hit on.
Yeah.
And then she's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, could I still love myself?
Can I still love myself? And can I still be a safe place to land within myself?
Mm.
right? Mm-hmm. Because I think ultimately we are our own worst critics.
Oh, yeah.
And not just a critic, but like actually abusers. Yeah. Like we take those abusive, yeah, abusive words that, you know, we've usually absorbed from culture or family or whatever. Mm. And we are the ones who will be the first ones to like abuse ourselves. Mm. If that interaction doesn't go the way we would, yeah, like. And that's where we need to look at the interaction. It's like, can we be the safe place for ourselves to land and be okay with no matter how that interaction plays out? Am I okay?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think these questions are like the ultimate. And then we're going to stop projecting onto each other all the time. Mm. You know?
Amen.
It's like, let's just own ourselves and own, yeah, it.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's such a other big. There's so many big topics we could,
oh my God,
dive,
yes,
more into. But
so many.
I think I want to get to the end here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, if you could offer one piece of advice to anyone listening, mm-hmm, men or women, they don't live their authentic self. Really, they don't know. Like how to get started? Like how do you start on that journey? Kind of like we tapped on it a little bit, but like, what are the concrete first steps maybe I could take
on the journey to finding your authentic
self? More authenticity, like to find more fulfillment, maybe through authenticity, right? Mm. Because people first of all look for like, okay, things like I lined up my ducks, as you said,
and then it's not there.
Like, how do I get started? Like maybe people who like listen to the conversation were like, oh yeah, there were some nice nuggets in there.
Yep.
How can I get started?
I would suggest beginning with curiosity. Curiosity, full stop. Curiosity and experimentation. Like take the pressure off yourself to have to find a thing and to have like the thing that you find to be the very first thing that you have, you know, again, it's like not wanting to endure discomfort or intensity. It's like, can we go back to our childlike selves, which we still all have within us? We all have inner children. Can we go back there and tap into what is it that little Frederick enjoyed? What is it that little Carly enjoyed? Like really, like with unencumbered, without any expectation, what were you doing as a kid? Like start there. Start with the lightness, the enthusiasm, the curiosity. And you know, the threads that run from our childhood do usually still ring true in adulthood, right? It could be, evolved and enhanced and, you know, like it's probably going to have added complexities and stuff, but like go back to the essence of who you were when you arrived on this planet and what did you really, really enjoy doing? Did you enjoy dress-ups? Did you enjoy dancing? Did you enjoy, you know, running around in the field, playing with whatever? It's like, can you let yourself be in a phase of experimentation and curiosity in your life to discover what truly lights you up? Because it could be something that you have not done in decades and you haven't allowed yourself to.
Yeah.
And even starting with a prompt, like if I could do anything, you know, try anything, what would it be? And let yourself follow that. And maybe it leads down a path of like, oh yeah, I don't really enjoy that anymore. Whatever, like it's not a failure. You're curious, you're experimenting. Let yourself interact with the world in a way that is that childlike curiosity and discover when that thrum in your body, hopefully it's in your body, like starts to light up with like, oh, I really love that. I really enjoyed that thing. You get to build on that. And then usually when you can sort of start to do more of those things, other things arrive into your life, other activities, people, events start to magnetize, you know, we're using that sort of the cognitive bias towards positivity, towards, you know, curiosity, other things will begin to arrive and you can follow them as they arrive rather than powering your own momentum all the time. Like you get to work with the universe, you get to work with the world as it presents stuff to you, right?
Otherwise, we're approaching like the self-healing journey the same way as work again, like through the head 100%. And like I make my 10-step plan of like blah, 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 but like shifting the whole thing a little bit. And I like that a lot, what you said, because it allows yourself to also start feeling a little bit, because the decision of what you really want to do doesn't come from the head. Maybe the head wants to overthink also. That's probably good to observe. It's like, okay, what is my initial feeling and instinct? And does my head immediately come in and say like, oh no, but you have to work, or you have to do this, or you shouldn't do that, like, you know? And it's like, oh, like, just I think this is the awareness where everything starts with, of like, and then you already, and then you believe, then you can listen to the podcast again from the beginning, because then you understand it way more. Like, now when you started doing this, it's like, ah, now I get it, the head and the heart.
Yes. Yeah. And then you're connected, and then, wow, life becomes pretty amazing. But yeah, like, I love that. Don't take the approach that you would at work to this, because you're tapping into usually like from 7 and less, like 7 years old to less. Like that's like the ideal, because that was probably before the time that like before ego was created and everything. Yeah. And if you tap into that, it is like, you didn't care about what other people thought. You go play in the mud, like be a filthy child and like, who cares, right? All that stuff is there, and it's not in the head and in the lists.
Yeah.
There's so much gold there.
Nice. Thank you so much for being here and having this lovely conversation with me. And
Thanks, Frederick.
Outro.